Hello again, everybody. Welcome back into another episode of Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. This is our seventh episode of season four. I'm hoping it will not be the season finale. I'm hoping I can talk Mr. O'Dowd into one final episode for this season. I've pitched an idea to him. We will see what happens when he gets back from the mouse. But yes, hockey season is here, kids. It is here. The preseason is like I'm not alone, of course, today. Let me stop right there, because I did invite my main tag team partner for Musical Chairs, who's not named Patrick O'Dowd. He's my lifeline. He is the guy I go to, the most reliable backup option. And I don't even want to say that, because that makes you sound like a Dolphins quarterback or something. And that's a whole nother issue entirely. But it's the one and only DJ from the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. DJ, buddy, how are you doing, man?
I am good. Shook off the hangover from last night's episode of The Big Five. You, me, Tunney, Kenny Killa were on there. I had a bit of alcohol and woke up with a little bit of a headache, but I'm ready here to talk some music with you. And thanks for having me back.
Well, that Brett Owen steel cage match is a tremendous match, but it is long. I think the guys are a little bit right. Yeah, it's like 32 minutes.
You could have shaved 10 minutes off that and told the same story.
You could have. But like we were saying on the episode, I was trying to make my point. It's like so many of those cage matches in that era were so short and just inconsequential and like, eh. That day's like, you two guys roll with it. And I think you made the comment like, well, we're not going to give you the main event, but we'll give you as much time as you want to tell this story.
And I think that's probably a likely scenario.
Yeah. So like I said, I'm hoping that Patrick will do one last episode, but hockey is getting underway for real next weekend. My Caps, I was really hopeful about them. They look like shit in the preseason. You give up 8 goals to Columbus the other night. And part of me is like, well, that's the team that Johnny Gaudreau played for, so I'm kind of rooting for them, except not against my team. Are you a hockey fan, DJ?
Not really. I probably couldn't tell you last time I watched a hockey game. I enjoy it when I watch it. I just don't go out of my way to watch it.
And where are you located? What part of the state?
I'm in Florida. I'm on the east coast of Florida.
Okay, so you
basically Cocoa Beach.
Okay, so what is that close to Miami?
That's pretty about 3 hours.
Oh, not really. So how you guys had no problems with the hurricane?
We had some wind and rain, but nothing like what they got up in the panhandle.
Yeah.
They got absolutely hammered. And then obviously the people in, North Carolina, Asheville?
Yeah.
Are just horrifying. I'm seeing the images come out of that, and God bless them. Jesus.
Yeah. It took a definite different course than I think they were anticipating. Patrick is in Orlando right now at Walt Disney World. He got in right before they started grounding flights the other day and said, nope, no one else is coming in. So he barely made it in there. But yeah, I'm hoping all that. I talked to my daughter because she lives in Orlando, and I'm like, you guys get anything? She goes, a little wind and rain, didn't lose power, no big deal. But yeah, like you're saying, the panhandle got crushed because that thing hit it at a Category 4. That's a big ass storm.
So, and it was the breadth of the storm, how wide the system was I posted on my app formerly known as Twitter, because I had the NOAA website up. I watched the thing all week at work, and I had it up on my workstation, and I watched it come all the way in through the Gulf and, move on out. But the system attached to that on the backside of that front, when they were getting rain all the way up into New England.
Yeah.
Like, my co-hosts on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast are in Boston and D.C. respectively, and they were getting rain at the same time I was in Florida while the storm was, off the coast. So it's crazy. It's actually hauntingly impressive when you see the image as to how big the storm itself was, and then just how much storm system went up the north. Like, the whole northeast is like whited out from storm,
and how quickly it formed and intensified.
Yes,
it starts off anything in the Gulf of Mexico right now, because that water's so damn warm. That's a problem, because it goes from tropical depression to Category 4 in no time, and that's
and we're in September is peak season because the water's the warmest.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody's okay there, but we're not here to talk about hurricanes or the Miami Hurricanes or the Carolina Hurricanes, although Carolina's getting hit by a nasty hurricane or whatever. It's a tropical storm now, I'm sure, but still lots of rain and problems. But we're here to talk music. And this, like I said, this is the seventh episode of our fourth season on here. I've got a band picked out. DJ's got a band picked out. Before I give you mine, DJ, I mentioned it to you like the episode a couple weeks ago where I covered Rainbow, and I thought about you because you had talked about the Anthrax singer Joey Belladonna. covering a bunch of Rainbow songs at an event you went to, and it was really awesome. And I was like, I was laughing when we were to myself when you were saying, it's like, Rainbow's coming up like next for me. I wonder if DJ will be on. And you were going to be on, and then I got sick, and that got all screwed up. But I hope you enjoyed that. I did that one thinking of you a little bit, my friend.
Did, and I texted you because there was one point where you were talking about Ronnie James Dio and when he first joined Rainbow, and you were having a hard time coming up with the yes. band name. And I'm yelling at my, I'm in my car driving home listening to this. I'm like, Elf, Elf. And then like 2 seconds later, you came up with it. But it was just a really funny thing. But I did appreciate that.
I remember I'm a little older than you, so sometimes the neurons certainly don't fire. At all.
It's slowing down for me too, Bubba.
But I'm going to go first this week. Excuse me. And then DJ will come in on the back end, and we'll only do one commercial break until Tony sends me the other commercial, because it's all messed up on my end right now. But the band I want to cover this week is I fell in love with this band. And at the time I fell in love, I heard like one song, and it was a super popular song, and it was everywhere. And it's, to me, it's like, this is the greatest song I've ever heard, with like the minimal amount of chord changes, because I used to be a guitar player. And it's like one chord that they're doing. And the way they do it and the background and everything of the song is just like blew me away. And then later on over the years, I discovered their other stuff. And the band I want to cover this week, a lot of people call them like one of the greatest emo bands of all time. I think that minimizes who they are and what they are. But my band this week is Brand New. And I don't know if you're familiar with these guys, DJ, or if you've seen them at Rockville, or I mean, they haven't played. They've been broken up since 2017. Not a band you're familiar with? Oh, man.
I've never even heard of them.
Really?
Never even heard of them.
I bet if I played, of course, like I was bitching to DJ this morning, there's a dispute going on between YouTube and CSAC, and they've pulled all these videos, like Boulevard of Broken Dreams by Green Day, gone. You can't listen to it or watch that on YouTube anymore.
Wow.
Yeah. Nirvana, gone. Anything from Brand New is now gone. But I would bet you anything that if you heard the song Jesus Christ by them, you would say, okay, that song I recognize. Play it when we're done. Listen to it. It is a phenomenal song, and it is really just like one chord with minor teeny variations. And there's even a part at the end of the song where you think like, well, they're stopping. They stop. Okay, the song's over. And then they start back up again with the same. It is a fantastic song. But these guys came out of like the remnants. Well, not the remnants, but like the main guy in the band and the most controversial guy in the band. Let me get myself situated here. Okay. Jesse Lacey, and we'll talk a little bit about him later on. Jesse Lacey, I think he was rhythm guitarist or bassist, I think, of Taking Back Sunday, which is another band I really like from this era. I know you know me pretty well. I'm not the most emo guy in the world, but I do appreciate some of the music that came from this 2000 to 2015-ish sort of era. And Brand New was one of the bands that probably was the best of them. And they came out with like kind of like this solo EP sort of thing that was really good, and released a few. Their first album was called Your Favorite Weapon, and there were a few good songs on there. But it was their second album, which was called Deja Entendu. And this album came out in 2003. And one of the songs that I'm going to play at the end, assuming I can find, well, I've got it. I've all downloaded them all. But like my favorite song by them of all time is from this album, but this album is like phenomenal. And if you've never listened to it, I mean, the big songs that came out of it are The Quiet Things That No One Ever Knows, Sick Transit, Gloria. Those are these songs that were very different for bands of their ilk at this point in time. And they seem to be more complex. Their rhythm and their stylings were very different. And then they kind of like, they went away for a little bit. They had a bunch of songs. It's similar to like Green Day. Remember, Green Day had a whole record called Cigarettes and Valentines that was done, ready to go. And then the master tapes got stolen. They've never resurfaced. It's been like 20 years. Somebody's got those damn tapes, and they've never leaked them. They've never put them out there. And so like with Brand New, they had the same sort of thing going on where, you know, they had like six songs that got leaked to the internet, and they decided to kind of like resurface. And they waited a while, and then it's in 2006 they came out with, and this is the album that has Jesus Christ on it, and the second song that I will mention for the you know stuff we listen to at the end, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me. And it's it's a phenomenal record. And it took, like, you know, this whole notion of them being this emo band, and they started adding in some darker elements to their songs, you know, like in Jesus Christ, this one of the main lines is, you know, Jesus Christ, what did you do those 3 days you were dead? You know, that sort of thing. So there's some depth to their lyrics on that record, and there's some really good songs on there. And then they kind of just, like, they'd all for a while now, they were always saying, we're going to break up in 2018. It's like, wow, you guys actually, like, picked your breakup date years in advance. And then they came out with a couple of records later on. One of them's called Daisy, and the other one's called Science Fiction. And Science Fiction actually debuted at number one. And they came out on their own self-titled, Procrastinate Music Traders is the record label that they started. And Science Fiction debuted number one on the Billboard 200. They're really, really good albums to listen to. And I haven't listened to them as much as I should have. And I started, you know, going through before all this shit vanished from YouTube the other day. I started listening to some of those, like, wow, these are really good songs. These are much more mature lyrics. They're more complex. Like, Daisy had a harder rock element to it, so you might like that a little bit more, DJ. And then Science Fiction is just really kind of like a complex sort of album. But that was in 2017, and so they kind of, like, broke up a year earlier than they predicted because Jesse Lacey got into some controversy. There were some sexual misconduct allegations made against him. Couple girls who were underage at the time that he was overage.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, not good. To his credit, he owned up to that. You know, he admitted, you know, a lot of people hide from that stuff. A lot, especially celebrities. Diddy, we're looking at you and your 3,000 bottles of vegetable oil or whatever the fuck you're doing over there. I don't know. But Jesse Lacey, to his credit, said, yeah, I did some stuff that was wrong. I apologize for that. I was wrong. I was messed up. I've grown up a bit since then. He's one of these guys who, like, when he's in a state of depression, and you see this a lot, when these guys are in a state of depression, they write really good material. It's what happens when they're not writing that's a problem. You know, Chris Cornell, Chester Bennington, you know, kind of stuff like that that you see Kurt Cobain. When they're in that creative mode, it's great to be in that frame of mind, but not so much when you're not in that mode because you don't know what to do with it. And Jesse Lacey was not that way. He kind of, like, you know, did his own thing, owned up to the problem. But that's a controversy that's just going to kind of stick with you for a while. It stuck with them for a while. They haven't been back since 2017. They're a band I'd really like to see them get back together because I've watched them play, like, at Lollapalooza and those big events like that. I'm sure they would play at, you know, Welcome to Rockville if they were still around. You know, they're a band that you would absolutely put up there on that stage with, you know, some of the other bands that play there. But they're a really phenomenal I think they're more alternative rock than this emo rock thing. And I've never dug that whole, because it's just the emo rock thing. I don't know how you feel about it. It's just got this negative connotation to it that I've never really bought into. It's like, why? Because they're singing about emotions and some of these guys wear guy liner. You're just going to label them emo rock.
I think that there's a lot of gatekeeping in music that absolutely irritates crap out of me. And you see it, like, when you talk about Welcome to Rockville, I'm in a couple of, well, one group in particular, that's just a bunch of people that have attended Rockville, and they talk about different bands, and they'll throw up, like, a meme insulting the fans who like, say, Five Finger Death Punch or Nickelback or something like that. And they used to do this when I was a kid, because we had the hairband metal group, and then you had the Sepultura, Megadeth, Slayer group, and the Sepultura, Megadeth, Slayer group would look at the, you know, hairband, well, that's not real rock, that's not real metal. Meanwhile, you listen to the tempo of some of the hairband songs, and they're actually faster than some of the thrash and you know, the death metal stuff. So the gatekeeping annoyed the crap out of me, because I can listen to Slayer, I can listen to Megadeth and Metallica. I enjoy the fuck out of some Poison and some Motley Crue and, you know, Cinderella and stuff like that, and all points in between. Music is music, and I may not appreciate every single aspect of every genre, but I can appreciate the talent that goes into it. You know, like, a friend of mine is a great fan of The Police. Personally, I can't stand The Police.
Really?
But gun to my head, I'll tell you, they're a top 10 all-time band, musically, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just not a fan.
I love The Police. I think we covered them on one of these episodes. And I think Stuart Copeland is a tremendous drummer. And I've always liked him, and Sting is Sting, you know, and when he's not descending from the rafters, sort of Sting, that sort of thing. But, like you're saying, there is a lot of gatekeeping that goes on in music. And like, I think you raise a really good point. Music is music, and it's what appeals to you. Music is the most subjective thing in our world. I really think, what speaks to your soul, you know, and music is probably the one thing that really touches us as humans on a much deeper ethereal level. I would almost say it's kind of weird to say that kind of stuff, but that's really true. It just depends. Well, what makes you feel a certain way? What resonates with you? Country doesn't resonate with me. Resonates with a lot of other people. And that's fine. That's all right. Great. A lot of rap and hip hop doesn't work for me. Works for other. That's fantastic. Even my nephew loves, like, death metal is okay. I don't dig all the screaming. It's like, well, I can't understand anything that's being said. But there's an army of people who will tell you why that's so awesome. So
yeah, I have SiriusXM, and I rotate between Turbo and Octane, which is more modern rock in the last 25 years. Ozzy's Boneyard, Liquid Yes. Metal. Liquid Metal has a lot of that heavy, just vocals. And sometimes it's not even about the vocals. Like, I don't even appreciate the vocals, but the music and the vibe and the energy is what I need in the moment. Yeah. And then I can go from that and then flow back into a melodic vocals I can understand, like an Iron Maiden or a Rainbow or a Black Sabbath or something like that. For me, it all depends on mood, and you're right. It touches you on a much deeper level, and an ethereal is a good word because, again, for me, it's influenced by mood. There are days when I'll throw all that out the window and listen to fucking Jimmy Buffett.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I love the hell out of Jimmy Buffett. He's one of my all-time favorites. But I also, in the same breath, will listen to Slayer and Metallica. So
you scored points with Mr. O'Dowd with the Jimmy Buffett. I love him too. So, and I remember
he's so fucking good, man. What a songwriter.
Yeah. Pat covered him right after he passed away last year. So, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's Brand New is one of these bands that if you haven't heard them and you like kind of rock alternative, or even if you want to call it emo rock, knock yourself out. Highly recommend you check them out, DJ. The two songs I'm going to recommend or put on the end of it, like, my first one is from Deja Entendu, which is it is a phenomenal album. It's one of those that you can just press play and just roll through, you know, and their song titles are long, but they're kind of always funny. Like, from the first album, the song I was thinking of was Jude Law and A Semester Abroad. It's like, okay, you know, it's like, but it's a great song. But from Deja Entendu, the song is my absolute favorite Brand New song. And it is, and I've got to make sure I get the entirety of the title right, because it's a long one. Okay, I Believe You, But My Tommy Gun Don't. This song is phenomenal. The way it's constructed and the way they put it together, it is. And I mean, I've just been around people just singing lyrics at the top of our lungs, because it is a phenomenal song. And it comes in pieces, you know, and it's like, starts off a certain way, then it picks up, then it kind of like, more so picking the section of that song that I want to play is going to be a little bit difficult. The other song I want to play is it is off of The Devil and God Are Raging Inside of Me. And it's a song called Millstone, which actually leads into Jesus Christ. So I love this song. I mean, I could have picked Jesus Christ, but everybody has heard that except you, apparently, DJ. But please run out and try and listen to this. If you got Spotify or something, listen to this song. I think you will be like, wow. That is really interesting what they've done with that song. And there's not it is a very minimalistic approach to a song, but man, it is like, it's like my nephew. He's the one who was a big Brand New fan. I heard Jesus Christ. I'm like, this is a really good song. He's like, have you heard any of their other stuff? I'm like, they've got other stuff. He's like, they've got a lot of other stuff. And that's where I fell in love with these guys. So yeah, those are the two songs that'll be on at the end. DJ, go check them out, man. Seriously.
I definitely will. I listened to some of the other stuff that you, the last time, I think the first time you and I did an episode, it was really good. So, you know, your recommendations are up there. I have yet to listen to your friend's band that you shared in the Chair Shot chat. I just, yesterday was super busy. And then this morning I was cramming for this. I'm working on a model car so I've been super busy. I just haven't had a chance to check out.
No, that's fine. They're really good as well. They're definitely a different sort of music from like Brand New or like who I had last week, Bad Religion. Okay. They're definitely not in that that sort of genre at all, but it's really good stuff as well. But we're going to take our only commercial break, and then when we come back, DJ is going to regale us with his choice, which I know he's like been studying up on. He seems a little bit nervous. He's a little bit, are you like IRS in that match we talked about, just coming sweaty in the first 2 minutes?
I'm literally just like soaked in sweat right now. Like my whole ass is like glued to the chair.
Awesome. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, DJ is going to tell us all about the band that he's got this week. You're listening to Musical Chairs here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Save big money on your door project right now at Menards. Update your home with beautiful Mastercraft doors. Mastercraft has been building high-quality doors for over 50 years. Design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program, or choose from our great in-stock selection. Save big on your new door at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Okay, we are back. DJ's had all this time to listen to me go on and on about how great Brand New is, and he's been thinking, he's been planning. I am very curious as to who you have pulled out of the annals of musical history this week. It's the floor is yours, my friend.
Well, I went way, way, way back on this one. This band has its origins all the way back into the late 60s, although their main focus was in the 70s and the 80s. They were part of the so-called British metal invasion, to be up there with, you know, the likes of Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, if you want to include Led Zeppelin in that. My band this week is Judas Priest.
Nice.
It's one of my all-time favorite metal bands, and one of the bands we talk about influence. Not only did they influence an entire genre in, you know, thrash metal and speed metal, they influenced me as a listener of music when I
Hold
first
on,
got
DJ,
into
Judas. I got to remove them from my list because they were on my.
They were on your list.
People I wanted to cover, but that's gone. That's all right. Sorry, I didn't mean
right,
to break.
Yeah, I keep having to go back and look at the list to make sure I don't cover bands at you, because I wanted to talk Iron Maiden. About 2 weeks ago when you were sick and then I was supposed to get on with Patrick. You guys have already covered them.
We have.
But we had the, speaking of bands and albums that influenced my musical fandom, we just celebrated the 40 years of Power Slave.
Yeah.
Which was my introduction to Iron Maiden and completely turned everything that I listened to musically on its ear. Because up until that point, and as I transitioned back into Judas Priest, I was listening to, let's see, Judas Priest, when I discovered them, would have been the early 80s, because in the 70s, they kind of toiled around with some different sounds. They were evolving. The band as we know it, with Rob Halford, the core members being Rob Halford, Glenn Tipton, KK Downing, and Ian Hill on bass. Rob Halford joined in 1973. So he wasn't even in like the first couple of years of the band, and the band wouldn't release its first studio album until, I believe, 1976. It was an album called Rock and Rolla. It was a bit more bluesy sounding. It wasn't this heavy metal punch you in the face type sound that they would later evolve into, but they would toil through the 70s releasing albums that were either critically or financially or whatever, just not really well received. They would break out in 1980. And I had some notes, you guys are gonna have to bear with me because I'm fumbling around on my notes. 1980, what the hell did they release? Yeah, 1980 was British Steel.
They released
British Steel in 1980, and that had Breaking the Law, Living After Midnight, and Metal Gods on there. And the two former songs ended up being pretty big radio hits. And then, you know,
if I can jump in for just a second. So British Steel was the first Judas Priest record I ever had. And Living After Midnight, it is a basic drum beat at the beginning, but man, it is like my favorite drum beat. My favorite drum intro of all time is Living After Midnight. But I don't know if this is going to be one of the songs you pick on this or not, but I'll just throw it out there. United is like one of my favorite songs from that record.
It's not one of mine, but it is a really good song. Now I've got two from two different albums. Okay. But yeah, this was where they really started to make it big. Living After Midnight, Breaking the Law, obviously big radio hits, got a lot of airplay, really introduced them not only, you know, to the UK audience where they're from, but the United States audience where they would eventually, you know, create a name for themselves. The interesting, you know, part of all this is the what made them special for me was the dual guitar between Downing and Tipton, because they would, these guys would literally bleed from one guy soloing into the next guy picking up at the last note and bleeding into his own solo. And it was seamless, like absolutely. And I'd never heard anything like that because, you know, being, you know, the early 80s, I would have been about 10 years old. I'm still kind of listening. My parents usually controlled the radio, so I listened to whatever, you know, my dad listened to or my mom listened to, which was fine. But in branching out on my own, I was listening to at the time, like, ZZ Top and Bob Seger and some country music and some Southern rock. So I hadn't really discovered this heavy metal. And in that time period in my household, you got to understand the way I grew up, some of that stuff was taboo. You know, Iron Maiden, there's a stigma around that type of music. And being the upbringing that I had, I kind of steered clear of that. And as I branched out on my own, I was discovering bands like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest, and it was so different than anything that was on the radio at the time.
Eddie probably didn't help the perception of Iron Maiden, right?
Right. Yeah. That imagery, again, because my parents looked at the imagery. They didn't listen to the music, and there's very little about Iron Maiden or Judas Priest's music that's truly satanic.
Those Iron Maiden album covers, I mean, yeah, if you had protective parents, forget about it. Mine were like, whatever. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you had protective parents, it's like, forget it, man.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much that they forbid me from listening to it. They just, if I listened to it or if I even talked about it, like, you don't want to listen to that stuff. It's this, it's that. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So, but eventually in discovering all this, Judas Priest absolutely influenced my taste in music. I liked the heavier, the harder stuff. And, you know, I would slowly gravitate towards more guitar heavy stuff. And in 1986, they would release Turbo. And Turbo, while it was a commercial success, was kind of critically, not only with critics, but with some fans, it was kind of looked at a certain way because they started to experiment more with synthesizer. And the song Turbo is synth heavy. It's synth guitar. It's synth, you know, just a lot of synth heavy stuff. It's a really good song. It's and they play it live today. I saw them at Rockville this year, which, you know, embarrassingly for me is the one and only time I've ever seen Judas Priest. Because in my days where I was, you know, young enough and should have been going to concerts, you know, I couldn't afford it. You know, I went through a long period of time where I couldn't afford a whole lot. And when they would come to town, it would either be like the most inconvenient time for me, either financially or personally. So when they showed up at Rockville, this was a bucket list band for me. And while the core members are now gone, KK Downing is out touring with his own version of Judas Priest right now, KK's Priest, and they're playing, you know, all the classic songs. Glenn Tipton has developed Parkinson's. He came out in 2018 stating that he would no longer be full-time touring with the band. And I think for a while he was going out and doing like the bigger shows, playing a few songs, and then the backup guitarist would come in and finish out the set. But if I'm not mistaken, I think he is fully off the road now. I don't think he's playing at all and contributing to the music anymore. You know, this is a band that has put out 19 studio albums, sold over 50 million worldwide, and played realistically 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, 10s, and even to the, we're talking about almost seven decades. I'll eject the 60s and bring it back to six because Rob Halford didn't join the band until 73. We're still talking about six decades of music, and this band was just inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2022, which should tell you how much of a mess the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is.
Well, yeah, I mean, look how long it took Rush to get inducted. It was a travesty. And Green Day is my favorite band, but I would probably hazard, and I would say inducted too fast, you know, that sort of thing, you know, that, because they were like,
and that's
like,
the thing.
It's like, but there's no rhyme or reason to the Hall of Fame. But
right. Well, it's like, I was talking with my girlfriend, Nine Inch Nails was inducted in what, 2020, 2021?
Yeah.
They were inducted before Judas Priest, and nothing against Nine Inch Nails. They're fucking awesome. And they definitely have their place, not only in, you know, music and rock history, but as far as being an influence on future generations of music, that band absolutely deserves it. But before Judas Priest, you know, a band that would influence an entire genre in, you know, thrash and speed metal, you know, Scott Ian has said as much that, you know, they were basically the godfathers of thrash. You know, some of the stuff they were playing in the late 70s, early 80s led into the Slayers and the Metallicas and the Anthraxes and the Megadeths. You know, that style of guitar and everything, you know, led into all that. So it's a very convoluted system, the Rock Hall of Fame is.
Well, I think, like, and I'm so glad you brought up Iron Maiden as well, because there is, when I was growing up, and I mean, I was into metal all the way, you know, and Maiden and Judas Priest were like hand in hand, right? They had a lot of stuff that was going on between the two bands. There were similarities, but I think Judas Priest got a reputation as being like simplified, whereas Iron Maiden was the more complex of the bands. And to a certain extent, I can buy that. But then if you like listen to Painkiller by Judas Priest, oh my God, that song is really, and if you've ever tried to play that in like Rock Band or Guitar Hero, fuck, it's really
fucking fast.
It is fast. And it's complex.
It's actually one of my songs off of the Painkiller album.
Is it? I'm sorry.
I may be wrong. It's absolutely my song off the Painkiller album. Wow. Simply because they closed at Rockville with that, and it was fucking phenomenal, man. Like, it just absolutely blew my mind that Rob Halford can still do that in 2024. And to hear those songs played live, and particularly because I told my girlfriend, but I'm like, I hope they play Painkiller, because it's one of my all-time favorite, you know, Judas Priest songs. And actually, that album had some really good stuff on it, not just Painkiller. Touch of Evil is an amazing song.
Yes, that's one of my favorite. Probably my favorite off that record is Touch of Evil. And that album really showed kind of their chops a little bit. And I mean, Iron Maiden does, you know, they show their chops every time they step on stage sort of thing. But I think Priest got a little bit of a reputation as being kind of like, they're a lot more simplistic than, the guitar for Living After Midnight is not going to wow any guitar virtuoso, and that's okay. Because it's
one of the few songs I can play on bass.
Yes, and it sounds great. It's an easy song to play on guitar, and I absolutely love the song. But Screaming for Vengeance was like one of those records that came out, and I remember when that one hit, and that one really kind of soared up the charts, and Electric Eye was on there, and I think... I'm trying to remember what's the other, there's a big song on there. Where is it? And why can't I remember it now? You've got another thing coming. I mean, that's the one that really kind of evolved all that, but Hellion and Electric Eye and the way they kind of blend, Hellion's like, okay, there's not here, but the way it seamlessly leads into Electric Eye is fucking awesome.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
I didn't buy a whole lot of Judas Priest albums, and I wasn't really introduced to their deeper cuts until I picked up the Metalworks 73 to 93 double set. And there's so many deep cuts in there. And, you know, I pulled another deep cut off of the Ram It Down album. And obviously Ram It Down, as the title track to that album, is amazing. And that's one of the ones where I'm talking about, where there's a dueling guitar solo in there that just rips your face off.
Right.
And I love it.
So Metalworks, I think they've got like a live version of Green Man Alishi or something like that on there.
They do.
And that's, if you never heard that song, that is a really hot, awesome song. But yeah, like, with like Maiden, you know, it's like you had the rhythm guitarist and the lead guitarist, and they really didn't deviate. And with Priest, you know, the two guys are kind of like joint lead guitarists a lot of the time, you know, with both of them taking over, you know, solo duties. Like Metal Church, which is another band I'll be talking about somewhere in one of these seasons, is another one of these bands that I really love that has that element where the two guitarists trade off and share duties, you know, and they each do their own solos, and that's hard to pull off, but I think it's fantastic. So, that is awesome, DJ. I'm glad that you picked Judas Priest, because they're a fantastic band. I already ruined one of your songs for you. I'm sorry. I suck. I know. I prostate myself.
That's okay. That's all right. The other song that I have is off of the Ram It Down album. It's a song called Blood Red Skies. And it's another song. It's a bit slower. It's a bit more moody. There's definitely an atmosphere to the song. And again, it's synth heavy without the poppy flavor of Turbo. You know, because Turbo Lover had, you know, it's obviously a rock song, but with the synth and the way that the song is arranged, it can almost bleed over into the pop charts. Blood Red Skies is not that. It is absolutely a metal song with some synth-heavy aspects. I love the lyrics of the song, the flow of the song. It's just a good overall atmosphere type song.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, okay, what's on my play? I mean, I've got a bunch of their albums, but I've got a specific playlist that I put a lot of this stuff on. Like, what else? Heading Out to the Highway. There's a fun one as well. That's one that I really like. And Sinner.
Sinner's a good one. In my workout mix for the longest time was Hellbent for Leather. This Hellbent for Leather is one that just grabs you. It's not a long song. It's only like a 2 to 3 minute song.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones that just gets you amped up. It gets you ready to go. Gets you ready to just ready to fight off the world. And I've always and I love the guitar solo in that. It's not super dynamic, but the way it flows with the song, it just it's one of my favorite all time guitar solos.
It makes you feel better. I've only seen them live once as well, and that was at the Mid-State Fair like about a decade ago. I think them and Whitesnake were playing over in Paso Robles out here, and I saw I saw them, and we had really good seats for Judas Priest, and they just melted your face. It was fantastic. But the same token, like I think I've seen Iron Maiden once, but it was the. What was the album Wasted Years is a song. But it was the Somewhere in Time, I think was the record I think that's where Wasted Years came off of. And that was the tour I saw, and a fucking 20-foot tall Eddie comes out on stage, and there's stuff that sticks with you.
Great theatrics, man.
Yeah, it really was. But yeah, that's it, guys. I mean, Judas Priest for DJ, you've got the two songs from him. They are a legendary band. I mean, there's no other way to describe Judas Priest, legendary band. You know, and like you mentioned a little bit, talking about some of the, I mean, the name of Judas Priest will get, if you were like, you know, with anybody religious, like my girlfriend at the time went to a Baptist school, and oh yeah, I mean, I heard all those sorts of shit about Judas Priest, that's sacrilegious. Like, do you even know what it means? Probably not.
Right.
But that's okay. Yeah, phenomenal band, brand new for me. That's going to do it for Musical Chairs this week. DJ, I wanted to obviously thank you again for coming on here and doing this with me. I always enjoy this season. It's been a lot of fun doing the stuff with Pat and doing the stuff with you. And I know you've been wanting to talk music, and I know this is a good outlet for you. So there you go. I'm glad to be, I will be your muse. Not the band, but something else. They're good too.
Appreciate you having me on here, man. It's and you know, hopefully one day, not that I don't like working with you, but hopefully one day I can chop it up with Patrick. You know, after hockey season's over, when the next season of this comes out, if I'm free, man, I'll find a band and we'll talk about it.
That's awesome, man. Let people know where they can check you out on social media, because you got stuff going on too.
I do. You know, obviously the Mindless Wrestling Podcast drops every Saturday on the Chairshot Radio Network. You can find me on the app formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod.
Awesome. And as for me, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. That's going to do it for this edition of Musical Chairs. Hopefully I can talk Patrick into one more, you know, because we'll see what we can do with that thing. That's kind of the idea. And we'll see if I can talk Pat into that. So it'll be fun. We've already divulged what's going on. So we'll see if we can't get the support around for that. But that is going to do it for this week. DJ, thank you so much, my friend. We will see you guys soon. Check these songs out. Check out Brand New. DJ, if you listen to Jesus Christ, I just want to see what you think of it. See if you agree with me that it's a good one. And I, of course, kids, check out Judas Priest. So that's going to do it for this week. We will catch you next week. So long, everyone.
'Cause you can't keep a secret if it never was a secret to start. At least pretend you didn't want to get caught. We're concentrating on falling apart. We were contenders, come throw in a fight. I just want to believe. About my father's work. We'll take-
question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.